and I lost my sons. Do not call me Naomi. When the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me, and she understands God is sovereign. And she doesn't really blame herself, as far as we can tell. She doesn't really blame Elimelech. This is the fact that we live in a sin-filled world. And terrible things happen. And we suffer. And that's the way things are. It's interesting, Naomi's name means pleasant. And Mara, of course, means bitter. I think part of the relationship that Naomi had with Ruth and with Orpah was that Naomi was a pleasant person to be around. In fact, we find out later that the town of Bethlehem is thrilled that Naomi is coming back. And there seems to be a positive atmosphere around Naomi, even though she feels within herself bitterness. Even though she has some issues with God, which I think all of us at one time or another have struggled with that. But she recognizes that God is in control. And while she may be bitter in her heart and in her attitude, it does not become a part of her. She's still a pleasant person. She's still good to be around. And I find that really, really strengthening, encouraging, that I don't have to, even though I may have issues with the Lord, even though I may struggle with something, I don't have to be bitter in that it becomes a part of who I am. I can be as pleasant as I am, hopefully more so, as the Lord works on me. But I believe whatever perceptions that Naomi had of her situation, she was still not unpleasant to be around. She may have felt abandoned by God, but she would not abandon others. Even though she gave the instruction to Ruth and to Orpah to go back to her family, Ruth found that the most pleasant situation for her was to be with Naomi. The timing here we find is God directed for Ruth and Naomi's return. In fact, as a team, the story really couldn't continue without the two of them. They arrive just as the barley harvest is beginning, which was a few weeks before the wheat harvest would begin. And that plays in to the account here where Ruth is gleaning in the field of Boaz and meets him. So what can we observe about Naomi's life so far? Well, Naomi followed her husband. She followed her husband, the father of their sons, to Moab. Naomi decided to return to Judah when she heard that the Lord had blessed the land with rain and crops. Naomi gave heartfelt advice in suggesting Orpah and Ruth to return to their home and to their gods. And Naomi seemed to be focused on other people's happiness to the point of her sacrifice. She was willing to go back to Bethlehem alone and face whatever consequences would come. Well, what can we learn about her actions? Well, she was faithful. She honored her husband. The decision to go to Moab, I'm sure, was not the easiest, but she honored that. Faithfulness to your husband is an awesome example, ladies, to your children. And of course, guys, vice versa. I said don't check out, okay? Faithfulness. Your children should never hear you cutting each other down or belittling each other in any way. In fact, the people around us should think that we are sickeningly, sweetly in love with our spouses. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Of course, she's going back to the town whose name means house of bread. So there's all kinds of agriculture going on, and it's God-led, and it's providential for her and for Ruth. So Naomi, hearing of the Lord blessing the land of Judah, we have to see was a gift from God. She even mentions it. It's mentioned here, the country of Moab, that the Lord had visited his people. So this is a gift from God. This is God's grace. And God's grace always gives us a choice. When God says, this is where I want you to be, and I have made a situation, it may not be perfect, but it's over here for you, but this is where I want to be, and you're over here because this is where you have felt you needed to be, you have a choice. Do I stay here in what is comfortable for me? Or do I move over to where maybe I don't know all that's going to go on or all that's going to happen, but I'm going to be in God's will? What are some examples of God's grace throughout the Word of God? Well, in Genesis, after Adam and Eve had sinned, God said, I'm going to send someone that will crush the serpent's head. That's grace. After they had sinned and they noticed that they were naked, God slew an animal and gave them garments of clothing for them. In Genesis 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the hearts thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and they could not continue like that. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found God's grace. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, this is God saying, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. That's grace. That's grace. Romans chapter 9. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. God is full of grace. He gives us that which we don't deserve. In fact, the Greek New Testament dictionary says, grace, which is the word charis, is God's unmerited favor. It is kindness from God that we don't deserve. There's nothing we've done, nor can ever do to earn this favor. It is a gift from God. So what do Naomi's choices teach us? What do they teach us? Naomi made a wise choice to return to Judah. On the way, Orpah and Ruth followed her, and she gave heartfelt advice to Orpah and Ruth. And of course, Ruth stayed with her. Naomi, all through this, was a source of grace to Orpah and Ruth. Naomi was perhaps a source of confusion to Orpah and Ruth. Come with me. No, don't come with me. I'd love to have you with me, but I can't give you anything, so go back to your families. this reminds me that us as parents, mothers and fathers, we're not always consistent, and we sometimes make mistakes. And we might say, well, it was a mistake in the beginning for Elimelech and Naomi to move to Moab, and then it was a mistake for Ruth to suggest that the girls should go back to their families. Oh, well, we make mistakes. But children are responsible for making their own spiritual decisions. I can raise my kids in a Christian home. I can share the gospel with them frequently and tell them about God's love through Jesus Christ. But they have to make that choice themselves. I want you to notice that there are two polar opposite decisions were made on the same advice. Orpah kissed Ruth and left. Naomi clung to her. The advice was the same. Naomi's gracious release of her daughter-in-laws prompted that choice. Listen, folks, if you've made a mistake in advising your adult children on spiritual matters, admit it. Figure it out. Admit it to yourself. Admit it to God. Admit it to your children. If you have been the kind of person who says, do what I say, don't necessarily do what I do, you can fix that. God allows that. And young people, if you've received bad counsel from your parents, forgive them. Forgive them. We all make mistakes. Ask for forgiveness from God. Ask for forgiveness concerning the person that you're dealing with, and then do it. Forgive. We're reminded that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So if we know Jesus Christ, or since we know Jesus Christ, his grace is available. His truth is available. And they come through Jesus. Man, I have made a lot of decisions based on what I thought. You know, kind of like that verse in Judges, what I thought in my own mind was the best way to go. But you know, when we stick to God's word and we do it God's way, he honors that. Inasmuch as possible, give good, biblically sound, spiritual advice to your children. Maybe you found this out, but parental opinions only go so far with a child. You know? Well, I think you should. But if you are learning and you lean on the word of God and you say, God's word says, that's a higher authority than even good old dad. Ultimately, choices based on grace, though, are between that person and God. God will give us opportunities. He will open up doors. He will bless us in this area. We have the choice then. Do we thank him for it? Do we praise him for it? Do we tell people about it? Do we encourage our children and those people around us, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, do we encourage them because God has done great things in our lives? Or do we just shrug our shoulders and go, well, of course he did. You know, Jesus loves me. Well, of course he did. Because Jesus loves you. But how do you communicate that? Ultimately, our choices based on grace are between us and God. So Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Naomi's immediate response to God's grace enabled the working out of the perfection of the Lord's timing. As the barley harvest was beginning, God, of course, had put laws into place decades before that established the proper treatment of foreigners gathering grain in the time of harvest. And the beginning of the barley harvest was at the very onset of the entire time of harvesting grain. The wheat harvest would happen just a few weeks later. God had put laws in place that provided for the marriage of and provision for a childless widow. God's gracious timing is always perfect. It may all seem random to us at the time that everything is taking place around us, but we have a God who's watching over his children. Which leads us to our formula this morning. And I am terrible at math. I'm really bad at math. But this is words. And this is attitudes. God's grace given to us, if we make wise choices concerning God's grace in our lives, God's grace is then revealed. He'll show us what he's doing. We may not get all the details, but he will give us more information concerning himself and how he's leading in our lives. I'm reminded of Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So we jump to chapter 4 in Ruth. And here is Boaz taking Ruth as his wife. "So Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi," or women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel." You know, we talk about Boaz as the kinsman redeemer. In fact, there's even a nearer kinsman, but he doesn't really factor in, and he doesn't even have a name in this account. But there's Boaz. But this is not the Redeemer that we find. The Redeemer is the little baby. The Redeemer is Obed, the little child. "Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel." It could just as easily have been Boaz, you know, at least in the beginning. But it is such a blessing, God's grace shown to Naomi. "He shall be to you a restorer of life," speaking of the baby, "and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." She didn't give birth to Boaz. She gave birth to Obed. "Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David." So King David, his grandfather, was cared for, was loved by this remarkable woman who saw God's grace and made good choices. Here's some things to think about. Naomi thought God was against her, but he was actually working things out in order to bring her back to the promised land and continue the lineage of Elimelech, and eventually, which eventually led to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Next, it is okay to misunderstand God. It's okay to just trust. Once you see where God is headed, and you do understand what he was up to all along, then correct your thinking, praise him, move on, and tell others about him. God will sometimes work things out in ways we could never imagine. Who could imagine that this baby on Naomi's lap would be her redeemer and lead to the redeemer? We as parents, we as mothers and fathers will make mistakes, and I know that's a shocker right there. But when we discover those mistakes by the grace of God, we need to confront them. We need to repent of them by the grace of God again. They're in the past. We need to deal with them, and we need to point to Jesus. We can make a mark. We can make a mark in others' lives. And we might even say something like this. And I don't want to put words in your mouths, but just think about this. We might say from now on, things are going to be different. I now know what God wants in this situation. I now see God's hand. From this day forward, I will live in obedience to his will. And I won't do it on my own strength, because I fail and I will fail. I will do it by his grace. God's grace plus wise choices equals God's grace revealed. I pray that God's grace will be more and more revealed in your life, and that you can share that great love that he has for you with others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Just help us to live out what we've learned. And Lord, there may be other lessons. I'm sure there are. There may be something that someone has thought about this morning that they just need to deal with. And Lord, I pray that you'll give them the grace to do that. That you'll give the person or the situation, cover that in your grace as well. We don't deserve it, but we ask for it, and we trust you in it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.